So I'd like to introduce you to some of my friends here who are coming to help bring the good word to St. Luke's today. Many of you have met Arissa Orcutt.
I don't know any of these people.
And she's a member of our church, obviously. We didn't just get her off the street to be our assisting ministry.
Here, today. Put on this coat.
Yep. This is Callie Torkelson. She is a member at Christ Lutheran Church in Wyoming. This is Nathan Van Adda. He came to us all the way from Adrian, Michigan this morning. What church is it in Adrian?
Christ the Redeemer Lutheran.
Christ the Redeemer Lutheran in Adrian. And this is Elena Dulecki from Trinity here, just down the street here in Grand Rapids. So thank you very much, all of you, for being here. All of these young people were a part of being a peer minister at the youth gathering in Lansing this last winter, December 27th through the 30th. And they did a great service to me by agreeing to be here on Sunday. So thank you very much. So today we're talking about the transfiguration of Christ. You know, I've been to that mountain. I got to go there a while ago, a couple years ago. And I've been up on the mountain. It's called Mount Tabor. And it's on this great plain. It's just, there's this one random high hill. And all around is flat. And there's fields everywhere. It's an amazing view. Good thing I wasn't driving. I wasn't distracted, right? And we went up there, and there's a giant church up there, this group that I was with, and we walked through the church. We were the only people there. It was kind of cool. And the sun was setting, and it was nice weather. And you know what? Jesus wasn't there. He had been there a long time ago, with Peter and James and John and Moses and Elijah. I saw a great picture of it in the church. They had this golden mosaic up in the dome of the church. But Jesus wasn't there on that day that we went up to Mount Tabor. Because when Jesus was transfigured there a long time ago, a couple thousand years ago, he just showed, he divulged, he demonstrated his glory to his disciples. And it's interesting because at the end he says, don't tell anybody until after I'm risen. Because he wanted the disciples to tell other people about him at the right time. Because Jesus didn't stay up on the mountain. He came down, he was crucified, he died, he was buried, and he rose again, and his glory was manifest. And is still being made manifest, not up on Mount Tabor, but in our lives these days. That's what St. Paul was talking about. He says, the glory of God, the light of Christ has been revealed to us. And so we can see Christ in each other. And that's why I brought these guys to be with me. You see, Jesus plans on being seen. That little moment on the Mount of Transfiguration where he brought the disciples with him. He said he wanted them to see his glorified presence. He wanted them to see the glory of God in him. He wants us to see the glory of God through him. And I feel like you guys have gotten to see the glory of God in lots of different kinds of ways. The brilliant presence of Christ. And I want Callie to start by sharing a story about how you've witnessed Christ through the different peer ministry stuff that you talked about earlier.
Okay, so I signed up to do peer ministry because my friends had gone to the training here at St. Luke's. But I wasn't able to come to it because I had work. So I was really upset because I couldn't go. And then there was one in Livonia. And I had asked my parents if it would be okay if I drove out there because it's all the way by Detroit. I'd never even been to Detroit. So that was an adventure. And they weren't too keen on that idea. So I was on the gathering website just looking at it. And I saw Pastor Aaron's email. So I decided to email him and ask him if there was any way that I could make it to the Livonia one. And he said that he could drive me. And then he said that he was also driving another girl, Elena, and I had never met either of them. So the first time meeting them was in the carpool lot the day that we left. So that was really nerve-wracking. And I was really nervous for the whole thing because I'm not really like that like open of a person. Like I'm really shy and timid, and I'm not one to like strike up a conversation with someone out of the blue. So I was really nervous about the whole thing. And then I was able to drive to Livonia, and we came up a little early, and I got close with Elena, and then when the people started coming in, they all seemed to like know each other from camp and past gatherings, and I had never met any of them. And then through Christ, they just had their arms wide open and welcomed me, and I felt so loved being there. And we did this activity, it's called Inside Out, and we really opened up and definitely got to see like more of the people, like more about the people I was with. And it was so amazing, and they welcomed me so much, and through that I was able to portray that at gathering. And it was so much easier to, like, if I saw someone sitting alone, I would go talk to them, and it wasn't hard at all to do that, and that's not something I've never done before. So I definitely saw God, and he just showed me that to love everybody and to be open about everybody, and it helped so much.
Thanks. It's kind of amazing, you know, we hear the story about Christ revealing himself to the disciples, and we think, wow, that's just a story we hear in the Bible. But we can expect to see Christ in each other in our interactions. And it's so life-giving. I mean, you even yourself said to me, what did you say? You said,
this training changed my life.
Yeah. That was quite a moment for me. I was like, whoa, praise the Lord, right? God showed up.
God showed up.
Praise Jesus, amen.
Praise Jesus, amen.
That was the little thing we did. And it's really amazing, you know, we experience Christ through each other. You experience Christ through each other. We see the glory of God and the love and that we show one another. And when I have to tell you this story. I have to tell you a different story. When Moses went up on the mountaintop to experience God at Mount Sinai, he was there by himself. Right, all the people of God were down at the bottom. But when Jesus goes up to the mountaintop, he says, disciples, you come with me. Peter, James, and John, you come with me. And they, like Elisha in the story at the beginning, they saw the glory of God revealed. They heard the voice of God too. The disciples, along with Jesus, they got to stand on the holy ground. Jesus wasn't hoarding the holy ground for himself. He wanted to share it with his disciples, with you guys, to be inviting us, God's disciples, into participating in what God is doing. And Elena's got a great story about how she got to kind of be a part of doing that at the gathering. So why don't you tell your story, Elena?
Well, growing up in this society as a teenager, you're always told that you have to look like this, act like that, be like this. And it's really hard to love yourself for who you are as a person. I grew up in a really privileged school district. I go to Forest Hills. And in Forest Hills, you're always told that you have to be perfect. You have to get the perfect grades. You have to be beautiful, be involved, be everything. And I was always really hard on myself because I always felt like I didn't fit this mold. I felt like everybody else, they wanted you to go through this circle mold, and I was a square. I just always got really down on myself because of it. Earlier in at the beginning of 2014, I was on the planning committee for the gathering, and we were planning each day out, and our theme for the gathering was love thy neighbor, and the full verse is love thy neighbor as thyself. And so one of our days that we decided on was self-love. And self-love has always been really hard for me. And from that moment, I knew that day was going to be really hard. We got to the gathering, and I was one of the people that got to help with leading worship. And so on that day that we talked about self-love, I was asked to go up and give a short testimony. We called them pop minutes, where a youth would go up for a minute or so, and they would give a short testimony about whatever the topic was. And so on the day of self-love, I was asked to go up. I gave a testimony. And I mean, it was hard, and I didn't really think anything of it. I just got up there, I did my thing, all was good.
You shared the story you shared with us just now.
Yeah,
about
I shared a
not
little
fitting in.
Yeah. I shared that, I elaborated a little bit more. And I really opened up to everybody that was there. And later that night, I was talking to a kid that I had met a couple days ago. We knew each other in passing. And he was telling me that my testimony was the first thing that really spoke to him at gathering. That everything else, it was great, but it didn't really move his heart very much. And me telling my story, me opening up, me just being vulnerable to everybody there, he felt like I was saying exactly what he needed to hear. He felt like somebody was finally there who would understand. And I just thought that was so cool that God used me and he used my words and his words to shape the life of somebody. I changed a life at Gathering. And I just thought that that was so incredibly amazing.
You were his Christ. You invited him up to the mountaintop by telling your story about what God was doing with you. And he got to see the glory of God in your face. And it changed his life. That's the amazing thing. If you experience the glory of God, you don't stay the same. You know, Peter, James, and John, they didn't stay the same. These guys up here, what did you say? I mean, you said it earlier, my life is not the same, right? Right? Arissa and Nathan, maybe we'll start with Nathan. Chris is like, good idea. How would you say your experience of God as a peer minister or any other times in your life where you've experienced the glory of God, how have you changed, do you feel like?
Ooh, how have I changed? I changed with seeing peer ministry and seeing the Gathering. I changed how I saw the church in general. My church, if you take this section, that's my church. So tiny. I am the youngest person at my church. The second youngest is my mother. It's really small and it's pretty old. And I never had a youth group. I never had one. And so I just assumed like I was a rare breed. Like, oh, you're a teenager that's like a very open Christian. You're a rare breed. So I just assumed like, oh, this is what every church is like. So church on Sunday morning sort of like became a chore. Like, oh, I have to wake up at 8. Why? It's Sunday. And it really, and I didn't enjoy going to church. I didn't feel God at church. And then my pastor told me about the Gathering. Well, to be accurate, I went to Mishaluka and heard about the Gathering, but that's a whole nother spiel. And so I found out about the Gathering from my pastor, and she said, sure, we can get you to go. We can get a group together for you, and you can head out. And so I went to the Gathering, and I was looking around, and I was like, there's a lot of kids here. Is this like the concentrated version of me? Like, is this all the rare breeds put together? And that was just during registration. When I got into worship, whoo, kids just everywhere. And the music started up, and everything started playing. And I was like, this is astounding. Like, so much Christ in one place. This is amazing to me. And then the cynicism side of me kicked in. And it was like, oh, these are probably just a bunch of kids that their pastors like forced them to come and like they don't even really want to be here. And then I went to my small groups. And small groups changed everything for me. I never thought kids my age, I didn't even think I could do it. I didn't think people our age could show Christ. I didn't think we could do it. I thought it was just like, oh, you broke 25. Here's your Christ card. You can be like a full you can be a full Christ person now. But like in my small groups, everybody's just opening up and sharing this experience and that experience, and God just everywhere. And I was so shocked, and I realized I was viewing the church like in a completely incorrect fashion. I was so wrong in how I saw the church, because how I saw the church, I didn't see any of myself. And now I met Elena, I met Callie, I met Ari. These guys are awesome. And they're like, at the Gathering, there's like thousands of these guys. And I changed peer ministry, and the Gathering changed how I view the church in general, the church of God.
It's you know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, and what Jesus was doing, the Holy Spirit gathers us. You know, on the Mount of Transfiguration, he gathers the disciples there to see his glory. We see God's glory when we're together. We see God's glory when we're together. And, you know, you experience that. That's wonderful. And I'm glad that your vision was changed, right? The Holy Spirit enlightens us to what God is doing in the world. So, Orissa, you're going to get to close us here. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. So, tell me a little bit maybe about, you know, ways that you feel like God has revealed God's self to you. Like I said at the beginning, you know, God doesn't want to be secret. God's glory wants to be in the world.
Well, the first encounter that I can think of was not, sadly, the gathering. The first gathering I ever went to was the ELCA's national gathering, which was down in New Orleans. Now, I hear...
Some people were at that one, yes?
Yep.
Yeah.
Their roommate.
Yeah. Keep going.
Slept in the closet, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, tell us about your experience.
Well, I'm hearing Callie and Elena and Nathan talk and you talk and you're saying, oh yeah, we see Jesus in people and we see Jesus when we're all together. And it reminded me of the last gathering's theme, which was Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, saying, God is saying that through us, we can glorify his name and what our actions are. And back in 4 years ago, I was going through a particularly rough time. And it was kind of hard to see the light in most situations. I had a cousin who had committed suicide the year before, and it was still a bit of a shock a year later. It's when it sank in. And I've talked about the story once before, back then, but when I went to the ELCA National Gathering, over the course of that period of time, this is the entire country packed into one small city, New Orleans. The entire, like, Lutheran churches all over, I don't know if it was Alaska and Hawaii.
Oh, yes, Alaska and
Hawaii,
too.
Okay, yeah, see my point here? That all over, all these people, we were, you know, it was on the news that this group of Christians in orange T-shirts were marching around the city, you know, doing the Lord's work. And I saw over this experience that there is a light of hope in every single person. And I immediately started to associate hope with God. Because that's where a lot of people ask, you know, oh, why are you a Christian? You know, that's something that you come across a lot. I go to Forest Hills, too, and my school particularly has a lot of kids that find Christianity to be too mainstream. So they're like, meh, my parents believe in that stuff. Oh, well, not me.
Yeah,
exactly, whatevs. But, and people have actually asked me, you know, why are you a Christian? I mean, what's there to believe in? And I just look them straight in the face and I say, it provides me hope. You know, you can find hope in a lot more situations if you have God to guide you in that path. You see him in your daily life. You see him in people. You know, and in peer ministry, I feel like that is just another way that we show God through people. I mean, we do things like Degage and service projects and Habitat for Humanity, trying to show, you know, God's grace through our actions. You know, in peer ministry, it's the exact same thing, you know. We often forget that Jesus is here to hear us. And in peer ministry, when somebody needs you to, you know, you sit down with these people that are going through a hard time, and you listen to them, and you pray with them, and you say, oh, I notice you're feeling this way. Would you like to enlighten on that? And they start to feel like you are really interested, because you are. You know, and through our actions as listening to these people and praying with them and being there for them, and being able to connect with them and give them that sense of understanding, that's exactly what Jesus is doing the whole time through every problem we have ever faced. And sometimes we just don't see it. And that's how we see it through other people in peer ministry. And I think it's absolutely amazing to have learned those skills.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Wow. I'm basking in the glory of what God is doing in your lives. It's really quite amazing to hear that story, that you yourself experienced this hope through the gathering, and then you feel like you're able to pass that on to the folks that you've met through peer ministry and that ministry that you feel like you're a part of.
So thanks to you.
Wow. I appreciate all of you coming up. And the final word then is, God's glory is real and is being revealed to us in each other and through you. You have the power to be the one who brings hope to someone else, to shine the face of Christ into somebody else's life when it's dark. And God's glory, just like on that mountain, will be revealed again and again and again, because Jesus isn't up there. He's in all of us. Amen. Amen. Let's give him a hand for coming up.